Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and today's conversation is with Rich Haley, Chief Financial Officer at the FBI. Also joining us from IBM is Angela Carrington. Rich, the FBI procures $3 billion in goods and services annually, largely IT and other high-end equipment. Since the acquisition management function falls under your purview, what are some of the key procurement challenges you folks are facing?
Yeah, I think you've identified our number one challenge going forward. Ironically, the procurement staff, the contract officers that the FBI has today are less than the number we had back in 2001. So we've actually grown the budget by several billion dollars on the non-personnel side, and we have less people procuring or acquiring assets, and that has a lot to do with pay raise absorptions and rescissions that were taken over that period of time. So, but I think that the challenge for us is how do you ensure that you're getting the most effective, and that's cost-effective, contracts, that you're looking at these on a corporate level and not doing the same type of contracts in 56 different field offices. One of the things that I think we're dealing with is that there's probably all kinds of best practices out there that other organizations are using. And historically, the FBI has, similar to our financial system we developed in-house, we've always been an organization that looks for in-house solutions. And I think one of the things that we've done is to say, you know, what are other practices that have already been invented that are being used out there effectively? And a key component for us has been a relationship with the National Academy of Public Administration, where we've brought in former executive experts from the Office of Management and Budget and other agencies and departments across town to form a team to help assist us in terms of putting together an acquisition team for the future. We have a lot of great contract officers. We just don't have enough of them to do all the work. We did over 19,000 acquisition efforts last year within that $3.5 billion that we execute. And there's a tremendous amount of efficiencies that I think that we can put in place still to ensure that we're getting the best value. There's a lot of focus from the Office of Management and Budget now in terms of acquisitions, transparency issues, as well as ensuring that we're insourcing as much as possible, and also ensuring that we're trying to save resources. Oftentimes I call them avoid cost as opposed to saving cost, because there's usually not a savings as much as there is in terms of trying to be just more efficient in terms of how those resources are being put out. You mentioned the IT side. Between our CIO's office, which are the traditional IT technology computers and servers and mainframes, we also have our science and technology side, which is everything from how we do wiretaps to how we do some of our unique systems that do fingerprints, name checks, and all of that requires complex acquisitions. And having the staff, trained staff, as well as the capacity to execute those type of procurements. And I think a long time ago, I had a mentor that I worked for that left me with a saying that stayed with me all these years, and it's that finance spelled backwards spells everything. There's a lot of truth in that when you talk about acquisitions, because you can't successfully complete, whether it's the operational mission or it's the service support mission, without having a strong acquisition process in place. So we take it very seriously, and we're doing a lot of things right now in terms of trying to put what will hopefully be in the next several years one of the best practices in the government in terms of acquisition management.
The Department of Justice is currently pursuing an overhaul of its core financial management system, and I understand that the FBI is preparing to participate in the migration to this unified financial management system. Rich, could you tell us a little more about the Unified Financial Management System, or UFMS, and how it will shape your future financial management strategy? You talked a little bit about your current system being 30 years old. How will UFMS change kind of your daily operations within the organization?
Yeah, I use the allegory of the cave analogy here that, you know, in many ways we are sitting in a situation where we're seeing shapes on the wall, and to get out and actually see the real trees and the real animals is where UFMS will take us. I have to say, you know, in terms of what we've been able to accomplish with our existing financial system is a tribute to those individuals 30 years ago that put together this COBOL system that we're continuing to use, and their vision and ability to put something together that would be able to transcend as the FBI transformed itself. But with that said, where UFMS will really make a difference for us is in terms of being able to report more accurately, more timely, be able to interface with other systems that the FBI has, IT systems that we've developed over the last few years, something like our case management system that we're developing, which we call Sentinel, where we'll be able to interface and share case data on a real-time basis between what's being executed by our agents in the field and what's in the financial system. It'll be an ability for us to more accurately forecast in terms of how we're expending resources and drill down into programs, which we currently can't do, to look for additional efficiencies and additional ways of either avoiding cost or to be more effective in how we're spending those resources. So it's a tremendous bump for us. I think one of the things that's lost on financial systems, though, is that when you go to a new financial system, that you're going to be able to reduce personnel or that it's going to be cheaper to operate. And I think that's one of the things that we don't believe will happen. I think it will change the workforce. We'll go from a lot of data entry and vouchering type of activities to, again, more forecasting, analytical type of functions. What UFMS also means, in addition to kind of a what I'll call a more nirvana state for us to get to a higher level of financial accountability, it also means that we need to prepare our workforce to be able to work with this system as we go forward.
You talked about FBI and the 56 field offices, obviously a very decentralized environment, and UFMS will have to be configured for a very large number of users. So a system this large, surely there's going to be lots of obstacles, whether it be what I call people, process, or technology issues. So can you tell us some of the challenges that you anticipate and how you intend to mitigate some of those?
You know, one of the things that we currently have with our an issue with our system we have now is a lot of our workflows have been designed not because they're the most efficient workflows, but they align to the financial system. So we've in some ways configured ourselves to work in this this current environment. And as we go through a series of process reengineering, I think we see opportunities with the new system to be able to put some of those into place. But I think the opposite side of that is that changing any process, not only in terms of what that means for the workforce to kind of reconfigure all of your policies and procedures, your internal controls, how you our financial statement, unqualified opinion, all of that is potentially put at risk unless you go deliberately and plan it out ahead of time. And so I think the procedures, many of the procedures that we still have in place today are 25, 30 years old, back when the FBI was executing less than $1 billion a year compared to what we're doing today. And I think being able to stay on top of those policies and process reengineering. And then when you look at implementing a system like this, most of these modern systems are using like an Oracle database, which is not what our current data is in. So it's transitioning or taking the data we currently have and bringing it into a modern IT language that can be incorporated into our financial system. Cleaning our data up. One of our major initiatives as we prepare for UFMS is looking at data cleansing. And we don't want to take over bad data, so we want to look at that and be sure that we're prepared to do those type of complex issues.
So you talked about some of the planning activities, such as data cleanup. Are there any other kind of pre-planning activities that you're taking on, and what have you learned from some of those activities?
I think the most important, and it goes to I think the effective partnership within the department and also with our other partners in the intel community. We've spent a lot of time, the Drug Enforcement Administration, who has successfully implemented UFMS, have been very generous, allowing us to be involved with their transformation to UFMS. So we've had members of my staff that have actually been able to sit in and learn from their experiences, as well as talking to some of our intelligence community partners that have similar type of systems. And I think coming out of that for us is, first of all, the impact it's going to have on the staff and what we can do ahead of time to prepare for that. And one of the things that we're doing with our current environment is putting a GUI, what we call a GUI front end, which is more of a Windows kind of a point and click environment versus having to put in all these funky codes that I, for the most part, can't do myself because you're on this green screen ancient technology. So by giving them an environment that will look and feel, at least on the front end, is still going to have the legacy system on the backside, but to be able to work in an environment that is going to be more Windows-based, I think is one of those efforts. The other thing is one of the things our ancestors did for us when they created the current system was not to use standard government accounting codes. So things like what we call object classes, which are as simple as buckets for putting equipment or supplies or services for contracts, there's a standard across the government. FBI doesn't use that standard. So it's not a matter of us being able to take these buckets from the legacy system, the existing system, and move them over. So we're going through an entire process now of trying to, in the current system, move to these standard codes and being able to account for it the way the rest of the government does it. And these are huge initiatives. And probably most importantly, and it's the one that I think has focused me in terms of how challenging this is going to be, is we have a number of programs that didn't exist when we put our financial system in place 25, 30 years ago. So we're moving to a program, sub-program organization. We call it a chart of accounts. A tremendous effort to be able to align our resources right now before we move to UFMS in a format that's relevant operationally and to our divisions in terms of how they really manage their resources. And I think these are some of the initiatives that if we're going to be successful at UFMS, if we're going to be successful of transitioning into a new financial system and maintain our unqualified statement, which is the expectation, doing these preliminary efforts and getting the workforce ready and getting our data ready and preparing for it, I think those are key aspects.
Rich, given your perspective, how has the role of the government CFO evolved over the last decade? And more importantly, what does that mean for promoting the efficient management of government resources?
I think that's a great question. I sit on a number of different groups and organizations made up of CFOs, and this question comes up a lot. I think for me, you know, the one thing that I see is that there isn't any breakpoint anymore. It seemed years ago when I was working in budgeting that you would have these cycles. You'd prepare for your department submissions, your OMB submissions, your Hill submission. It's now constant. And you're in an environment where you have accounting challenges, acquisition challenges, the budget process, appropriation process, and this consistency through the year where at any given time, you may have two or three crises going on. It really requires CFOs to prioritize. I have a saying for my staff. I call it the glass balls. It's those things that we're doing that we absolutely can't drop, things like getting an unqualified on our financial statement or putting the budget submission in on time to the Department of OMB with the right level of detail and information. And how you manage what falls into this glass ball category versus those other things that you're still responsible for, and sometimes those are going to fall. You're going to try to prevent them at all cost. But if you've got to protect a certain bandwidth that you can maintain, it's making sure you don't drop these glass balls. And I think that's got more intense as I talk to my fellow CFOs, a number of colleagues that we talk about this. I think that's the number one. Number two, I think that for me, looking internally at the FBI, I think the relevance of financial information for our executive management has become more important. That I think there is an acknowledgement from the director down that to make sound operational decisions, you have to have an understanding of those financial pieces of information. And so what that means from my lane is I have to provide that product. I've been able to get, I guess, an invite to the party, but now that I'm there, I have to, you know, be kind of an interesting guest. And it's not enough that you take the financial statement, which is not, quite frankly, all that exciting of a read, but it's taking that information and taking that data and putting it into a format that's relevant to our operational side of the house, that they can understand it and that they can use that within their lines of business.
Wonderful. What does the future hold for the FBI? We will ask Rich Haley, Chief Financial Officer at the FBI, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.